From the heart of the earth to the world, RTI.
Welcome to Postcard from Poprad. And being a responsible broadcaster, I have to say, for those of you of a nervous disposition, you may wish to tune away as I announce, it is so flaming hot here, I'm doing topless radio. This is... This is Postcard from Poprad on a melting day at the foot of the Tatry Mountains, and even they aren't keeping me cold. Rachel, it's too hot.
Is it too hot? What temperature are we talking?
Well, I've managed to keep the office down to 27.
Okay, what's it outside?
In the sun, in excess of 34.
Oh, that's okay. It's not too bad.
Hey, what are you?
That's okay. That's not too bad. We get to 45 here, man. Come on, suck it up.
Well, it is sucking up. My whole stomach's shrinking as I pour. Do you know? Well, I was so hot last night. This is absolutely true, dear listener, and you'll laugh. And I'm thinking, oh heck, my eardrums burst. I woke up in the middle of the night, it's about 3 in the morning, and I've gone, uh-oh, eardrum's gone.
Ooh-eck.
And I can feel Ooh-eck. This water coming out, and it's dark, and I'm praying to myself it's not the red stuff. And I get out, and as I get up, my head is stuck to the pillow. It is soaking wet.
You had swimmer's ear.
I had swimmer's ear. And in the end, I just sat there going, I don't know what to do now. It's too hot. So I know what I'll do.
Oh, that's hilarious.
I'll have a cup of tea. And a bacon sarnie. which is what I did.
Why not?
At 3 in the morning. Anyway, hi to you guys at Talk Radio, X Replay Radio. A special hello to Dan, who's joined us and is listening in the UK. Hi to Breeze Radio and everything else, wherever we happen to be. And I've got a few hellos to say to the guys from London this week. But first off, tragic news, actually. James Gandolfi... Gandolfini. That's it. Has died at the age of 51. Rach.
I heard this at about 9 o'clock in the morning my time on Thursday.
Yep.
And I audibly gasped. I was alone, and it flashed across the news bulletin. Came up. It's that big a story, and I
he's a young lad.
Character and a mega, and he's 51 years old and he's dropped dead of a heart attack. I actually had a mini one myself and thought that just is scary and makes me think about my own mortality. But as the day progressed, I was watching things trending on Twitter in particular, and Tony Soprano was the thing that was trending. And on iTunes, Sopranos went to number one on downloads.
Gosh.
Which was full on. So, but James Gandolfini obviously was Tony Soprano in The Sopranos, and that's what he's most famous for. And he did that show for 8 years, and it was an iconic show. It launched HBO in the States as a serious scripted drama channel. So, and they were able to push boundaries that they couldn't push on regular television because it was cable and so on and so forth. But to lose him is just a really sad, horrible, tragic thing, because he was larger than life and he was such an enormous presence in a lot of people's living rooms and lives that it was, if you feel like you know him, like you knew him. But shock worldwide, I was surprised at the grief and the outpouring and... just from worldwide, the public was enormous. But he's left behind a beautiful wife, a young boy, and an 8-month-old baby girl.
That's tragic. That is
It
tragic.
Really is.
And a quick apology, everybody. Lee's no longer with us because he's got lost in America again, or he can't wake
he's
up.
He's still with us, but he's just not with us this week.
Well, he's just not with us anyway. He never has been. But he's somewhere...
Yeah. He's not dead.
No. He's just not with us. And Rachie's broadband isn't very good because she's in a hotel.
I'm trying my best.
I could end up here on my own.
I'm hanging on for dear life. There's not many guests in the hotel, so they told me it should hang on.
Is that what they said?
Yeah.
Do you know what? I wonder if Harry's there. Because I'll talk to him in a minute. If Harry comes on, just scream at him. We're live on the radio. But anyway, great news for the Queen this week, as we see if my other colleagues are around. She was so... I don't know if you've seen the pictures, right? She was so happy. She was clenching her fist, all punching the air almost.
I know. I thought she was going to high-five somebody.
Well, I thought I don't know who the gentleman was alongside her, but I'm sure he's very important and I should know. I thought he was going to give her a hug for a minute. It was unbelievable. It's the first time...
Yeah, and that breach in protocol.
Yes, slight breach. Done that a bit. Anyway, the Queen has made sporting history this week, becoming the first reigning monarch to win the Gold Cup at Royal Ascot on Ladies' Day. And I spoke to our chairman, Jan, this morning and said, "Here, hang on, you went to Ladies' Day, didn't you?" So what was it like when the Queen won? Could you see her? And he said, "Oh, yeah, we were just next door." Sometimes you think to yourself, yeah, right. And he said she was really elated. She was punching away at the air. And she lit up like a... Because her horse was almost last at one point, apparently.
Wow.
And then it came to the front. Was that a big
That's
thing?
Amazing.
Was that a big thing on your telly?
No. But I did hear... Because I feverishly read the news on the internet, I did know about it. Mm. But it wasn't... We didn't hear anything about it in our you know, mainstream media here.
No.
It wasn't a big deal. It was in the newspapers, though, but not on telly.
Oh, we nearly lost you then, Rach. Tell them to be good.
Yeah,
it was one of those. But anyway, the fun thing was... that William Hill was not very happy that the Queen's horse won because they had to pay out £1.5 million to punters who had backed Estimate, the Queen's horse. So they lost on all sorts of money and tough luck.
Wow.
That serves them right for being bookies. They shouldn't whinge about it.
Wow. What?
Yeah.
So it's a risky take. It's called gambling.
Yeah, exactly. But I think the Queen's prize was £158,000 for being the winner. And I'm told that my boss's wife won £1,000 bet. That was the winning. She won £1,000. And she said to him, "Darling, would you go and place a bet on the Queen's horse for me?" So he says, "Yeah, all right." And he was a bit sort of pensive about it, really, I guess, because he'd given her some money to go betting with. And she says, "Darling, go and put a bet on the Queen's horse for me." And he's thinking, well, where's the money? But I can't ask because there's people about. So he goes and gets the ticket, brings it back, and his wife wins and says, "Wonderful, I'll go and get my winnings." Not, "Darling, will you get my winnings? I'll go and get the winnings."
No. Oh.
Yeah. Marvellous.
I love her form.
So do I.
Brilliant.
One day I'm going to get him in this studio, and if you're here with me, Rach, you've got to ask him about his first apartment in Poprad. Because he tells the story better than me, and I'd suggest you have a porta potty near you at the time.
Okay.
It's one of those.
I understand.
Understood. We had another interesting thing this week. Rachel's seen the pictures. RTI was in Parliament in London. Namely me.
Mm-hmm. Exciting.
Oh, actually talking to an all-party committee about the EU. Little Eric was in the Houses of Parliament with all the Ponzi stuff about, and it was a job, it was one of those my lord's distinguished guests, ladies and gentlemen jobs. How weird is
that?
I love it. How weird is that? And afterwards, this geezer...
I love it. Were you nervous? Were you quaking in your little boots?
No, of course I wasn't. I'd got an audience. I was happy. I was more than happy. I'd got an audience of several hundred people.
What a stupid question.
Yeah. So anyway, after I've done me bit and it shuts up, this Lord fella comes wandering over and goes, "Well done, my chap. Well done, sir. Well done. Very good speech. Excellently, eloquently put." And my boss whispers to me afterwards, "Was he listening to you then?" And I thought, that's nice, isn't it? That's, you stand up there, quaking in your boots.
That's lovely.
But he did buy me a drink afterwards and drive me back to the airport, which was very nice of him, which is all very, 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 very good. But there is an interesting thing come out of that, especially for all expats. Now, I don't mean British expats by this. I mean any expat within the EU. And this is what they want to know. If you have a problem in the country that you now reside in, for example, some people who are European citizens don't have the right to vote in the country where they live. Now, if that's the case where you are, can you email us at studio@rti.fm and tell us your story? I have a one already from a gentleman who's in Slovakia, and has a British car, but he's not allowed to license it here because it's not left-hand drive. And therefore, he can't insure
wow.
it. Therefore, it sits in his garage, and it's a London taxi. And he thought it would be quite a good charitable fundraiser jobby to bring one over and drive it around on charitable events. But he can't. So if you've got any sort of stories like that where you kind of think, well, that doesn't make sense, just drop us a note, studio@rti.fm, and they will all be passed on to the relevant people, and we now have direct access to these chaps. Gosh, it's too much. So tell us, all right?
Thank you. Nice. Thanks to your fine work.
I'll do my best. I'll do my best.
Nice.
Nice. Nice. Apparently there's a big argument between Russia and Germany again. Some things never change.
Oh, no.
Again.
That old chestnut.
Yeah. I refuse to do it the German way, so I'm going to say Angela Merkel was due to go to Russia, but there was some spat between her and some folks over there due to some art. I give up. Due to some art that German, they claim the Russians nicked it at the end of the Second World War. Well, they shouldn't have gone to war in the first place. It's the way it goes, isn't it?
No.
It just sort of happens like that.
So yeah, that doesn't end well. Everybody knows that.
Yes. But apparently this art that was taken from Nazi Germany has been on show in Moscow on several occasions in recent years. But now all of a sudden there's a bit of a spat over it and the whole thing's fallen into I don't love you anymore. What is the point? It's only paint on a canvas. I don't
exactly.
get it. I don't
you
get
just
it.
Look, is it arguing for arguing's sake, Eric?
I think it is, actually. I think it's all about...
Yeah.
Do you know what? I know there was a little story we're coming to in a minute where one of your politicians was jumping up and down this week. And I have to
yes.
say that I think the politicians have got too well-versed in the soundbite. And they use it for political gain. You know, oh, look.
Yeah, yes, they have, because they do those little, I don't know how it works with, yeah.
Hey, we lost that bit.
Oh, sorry, should I try it again?
Yes, go again, go again.
The famous thing to do here, because our Parliament House is structured as it is that journalists have a wing. And the media have a wing and they camp there all day and all night. And that what they do is they then stand at the doorway and they wait for people to come in and out and then pounce on them with a question. And the pollies have cottoned onto this and decided that's a great opportunity to just drop a soundbite.
Yeah.
So that's what they do. And it's called the door drop.
The door drop. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyway, I think they're all door dropping at the moment. And Angela Merkel is another one of them. And I'm going to keep calling that till she grows up and sees a sense. Then I might call you Angela again. Anyway, this I think is so bizarre. The RAF Museum, an RAF museum, is actually going to restore a World War II German bomber. which does seem very bizarre. This bomber was salvaged from the bottom of the English Channel. It's taken months to get it up. And it's just arrived at an RAF museum in Cosford, which is up in Shropshire. And this Dornier DO-17 was taken from Ramsgate down in Kent up to Cosford. It's a bit of a wreck, but there's enough of it to rebuild it. And they intend to do it all up and so that visitors can pop along and have a look at it. I think that's rather cool.
Like, see, this is the thing that flew over the top of you and dropped bombs on you. This was a weapon of mass destruction.
Yes. Well, apparently it's going to cost... there was over £600,000 aligned to do this with. I think it's gone over budget already because the plane was, you know, lying on the chalk bed. And there was a few bits lying around, so I had to go and pick them all up. But anyway, two of the crew members died and were buried elsewhere. Two, including the pirate, survived to become prisoners of war. There you go. So all good at the end of the day. The next one, I was hoping Lee was going to be here, but he just can't get up. What could you expect? No UFOs, please. We're British.
Yes, we haven't got time for such trollop.
No, of course not. There's no sort of danger to Parliament. Well, that's all right. Thank goodness for that. No danger to Parliament. Thank you. The mystery behind the closure of the Ministry of Defence UFO desk and hotline has now been solved because they've now released or declassified files. And they've just said there's no point. You got one of these, Rach?
Well, we've got a Ministry of Defence. I don't know if we've got a UFO desk. I don't know that we've got a hotline. I know that there is some sort of thing set up in halfway across the Simpson Desert on your way to from one side of the country to the other, so from Sydney to Perth, let's say.
Mm.
So you go east to west, and you get almost into West Country, and apparently quite a lot of phenomenon occur in this particular location. It's almost like a Roswell or something like that. But people have magazines published out of there, and there are radio stations coming out of there, and it's dedicated to the UFO. And I don't know that we've got any actual governmental presence, but I know that there's a part of the government that gets called on a regular basis, but I don't think they have a dedicated unit as such.
Well, apparently on Route 66 in America, they've got all sorts of things, including a specific radio station. Bizarre.
Yeah, well, that is bizarre. And I was reading about that. I can't tell you where and I can't tell you why. I don't know why I was reading it. I just thought it was really weird. I was reading about this radio station. I think because it was a radio station and I was reading it as I am interested. But we've had the same in Australia. There's a radio station all about UFOs, and I thought, how bizarre, how strange. I'd love to work there.
Well, yeah, but wouldn't the script be
odd? Because clearly all he has to do is make up stuff.
Well, I love the statement from the Ministry of Defence in London, being the stiff upper lips and chappies that they are. The Ministry of Defence has no opinion on the existence or otherwise of extraterrestrial life. Not surprising. However, in over 50 years, no UFO report has revealed any evidence of a potential threat to the United Kingdom. Yes, they fine. Yes, they're going to fly millions of miles and go, ooh, let's not attack the United Kingdom. That'd be good. The MOD has no specific capability for identifying the nature of such sightings. You've got eyes.
I don't know what they're looking for, in other words.
Oh, right. Yes. There is no defence benefit in such investigations. There would be if one of them went bang, wouldn't there? And it would be inappropriate.
You'll be sorry when the Martians come.
Yes.
You'll be sorry.
And inappropriate use of defence resources. Right. Furthermore, responding to reported UFO sightings diverts MOD resources from tasks that are relevant to defence. What if it was going to shoot at you? Be relevant, mate. The MOD will no longer respond to reported UFO sightings or investigate them, which means all the nutters are...
You guys have pulled out of Afghanistan, and whatnot. Have you got any war-y things going on?
No, not
like,
really.
You've got some spare cash. You got some spare cash then. You're not injecting it into any foreign country to, you know, blow it up or you know, retrain their armies and so forth. Oh. Why not set up a hotline desk? Now's the time.
Well, yeah, because otherwise all the nutters will start getting picked up by the newspapers. And there'll be a million of the damn things coming down.
That'd be fun.
The only UFOs I've ever seen are probably after vast amounts of alcohol. But anyway, that's another story. Rob's the expert on that one, isn't he?
No kidding.
Yes. No kidding.
He's got a doctorate.
He's never going to talk to me again. The remains of the creator of Star Trek, beam me up, Scotty, and the ashes of the actor who played Scotty are to blast off into space next year. Which I think is wonderful because he always wanted it, didn't he?
He did. He was so desperate to go, and he was so passionate about it, and he was really wanting to go in his lifetime, and sadly he couldn't. But what a way to be able to honour them both at the end. It's just so nice. I like it.
Yeah, I do indeed. And apparently, if you have a loved one and you wish their ashes to be scattered across space, there's still room on the flight deck, with the price for sending your loved one's ashes into orbit starting at a mere $12,500. Ouch. Careful. Ouch.
It's not. Some funerals cost that much.
Do they?
Yes.
Oh, I won't give a sod when it's
here
mine.
Here they do.
I won't give a sod when it's mine. No.
Put me in a box and do whatever. I don't care. Chuck me in the ocean, whatever. Yeah.
actually, it's really weird because the difference between a funeral, this is not being morbid at all, the difference between a funeral in the UK and Slovakia is just dramatic. Unbelievably dramatic. I mean, apart from my lovely parents, the last funeral I went to in the UK was for a gentleman who was in radio. He's very esteemed in the radio business in the UK, on Radio Caroline, all the nice bits. And he came into All You Need Is Love by the Beatles, and he went out of the church with Caroline by the Fortunes in memory of the ship.
That's nice.
That was nice.
That's nice. But have you got songs? Have you already thought of your songs for yourself? I've got songs.
No. Actually, well, I suppose I could think about them now. I think Always Look on the Bright Side of Life. I'd have to go in with that. I'd have to go in with that. And I suppose if I stuck true to form to my number one track of all time, I would come out with See Emily Play by Pink Floyd.
Nice.
Because that would be the way to do it. Go out with your most favourite track, surely.
Oh, I'm coming into Hell's Bells by AC/DC.
Oh, Martina will love you for that.
And I'm going out to Final Countdown by Europe.
That, we'd like that as well. Actually, you know, we ought to do that one day. We ought to have a musical version and put all of our... No, that's very moronic. Anyway, the... Yeah, let's move on.
Well, maybe have a thought and then move on.
Yeah, I think so.
I continue, fine, sir.
Yeah, can you do the signature tune to Looney Tunes? The cartoon one?
Oh, no. It's on the tip of my tongue.
Yeah, me too. Anyway, thousands of people gathered at Stonehenge for the summer solstice, because don't forget, from tomorrow, or this week rather, the days start getting shorter again. That's good news, isn't it? But they do. So anyway, they were there for the sunrise on the longest day of the year. Pagans were there, druids were there.
I love this. And I still love it. I knew that was going to happen, so they sent the sniffer dogs.
So they sent the sniffer dogs, and 22 people were taken into custody for drugs-related offences.
But, officer, these are my potions.
Yeah.
This one's for love, and this one's for...
Yeah. And the best of it all, dear listener, is they actually had amnesty bins there, set up by the police force in Wiltshire, not my Wiltshire, the County Wiltshire, and Superintendent Matt Bullen from Wiltshire Police said the majority of people respected the conditions of entry and the amnesty bins provided were used.
They put their drugs in the amnesty bin. That's very generous.
Approximately 70 cannabis street warnings were issued. Yeah, well, what? That was bound to happen. You got a bunch of hippies there, for goodness sake.
I didn't want to worry about cannabis. I'd just go, let's say that's a given.
Yes, absolutely. That's what happened. Mark Hugh, I think, I'm trying to remember when it was. A very, very long time ago. Meatloaf were the support act, actually. Meatloaf were the support act. Deep Purple were the...
Back when he could sing.
Yeah. Deep Purple were the lead act. And on the way in to some famous house near Stevenage in Hertfordshire, the Hell's Angels were there. They were the security. And every car, bike, whatever it was, you were stopped on the way in, and they said, you know, they sort of looked at you with that kind of Hell's Angel look that says, do it or die. Wind down the window. They said, if you've got any drugs on you, mate, give it to me, because the Roslers are up there and they're going to have you. And I went, what? And he repeated the same kind of phraseology. And basically, the Hell's Angels were taking all the drugs off people, wandering back through. When you got to the other side, they were giving them all back again.
Giving them back or selling them back?
No, giving them back.
Well, that's very nice. I would have thought, you know, being that some of them are quite nefarious characters, they would have, you know, confiscated them and then sold them back to you at some sort of bargain price.
No, there was no bargain announcements. They were just protecting the people from the police. It was really funny. And on another occasion, there was a phone call to Bowes Lion House, which was owned by Lady Bowes Lion, and she would encourage the biker fraternity to congregate together rather than being on the street corner, you see. That was her theory. And so we had there were several motorcycle club nights in Bowes Lion House. And then, because we all used to wear sort of thick leather belts with studs on them, because we were rockers, you see.
Yeah, right.
Yes. You wanted this. So we had leather jackets and all this. And then, for, I don't know, every now and again, there'd be this panic. And somebody would run around going, the police are coming up the drive. And everybody would take their belts out of their jeans, put them in the safe, and then when the police were gone, you got your belts back. But for that particular time, which was typically an hour, you had to walk around with your hands in your pockets, otherwise your jeans would fall down.
Why did belts, though?
Because they had studs in them. They were.
So they appear to be menacing.
Yes.
So if you're wearing studs in your belt, you are up to no good.
Yes. And they would...
Okay.
It's the British police, for goodness sake.
I love it. I think it's hilarious.
No,
it's
true. Absolutely true story. Absolutely true story. And the amount of nights I wandered around Bowes Lion House with hands in my pockets, otherwise I'd have builder's bum. It was just unbelievable. It was ridiculous. Anyway, dear listener, as you can tell, it's Rachel from Queensland, well, not for much longer, and Eric over here in Pop Rap, because Banksy's asleep somewhere, so I think it's about 4 a.m, far too late for him to be up and talking to anybody, because he's probably dozed off. And I've got some...
He's old.
Well, he is old, and I've got some special stories for him, but never mind. We'll do them anyway in part two. Don't go away. Faster than you can drink the milkshake, have a cup of tea or a cup of coffee. We'll be back with part two of Postcard from Pop Rap.
The Station of the Stars. RTI.